Our Old Testament reading for this morning is Micah 4, verses 1 through 5. It shall come to pass in the later days that the mountain of the Lord, the mountain of the house of the Lord, shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and peoples shall bow to it, and many nations shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth from the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall decide disputes for strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit, every man, under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all the peoples walk each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever."
Please stand. We'll read the Psalms together. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King of the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and all those who dwell. Let the rivers clap their hands and let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the earth with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened, and they thought they saw a spirit. But he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieving for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. And then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that just as you stood among the disciples on that first Easter day, that you are present with us right now through your Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes to see you, open our hearts to receive all that you want to teach us and all the ways you are wanting to grow us in you. We give you thanks and praise and pray all this in your holy name. Amen. And you can be seated. I want to begin this morning with a story. Comes from a TV show called The Bear, which is a show I've really come to appreciate and has received all sorts of critical accolades. But just a warning, a disclaimer, if you haven't seen the show, it is full of strong language, like lots of it. So just be warned, if you watch this and said, "My pastor recommended this," I recommended it with a disclaimer, and it is an intense show. Lots of yelling, but again, a really fascinating show. And so there's an episode where one of the characters, Richie, is able to spend a week basically working at a restaurant in order to get experience that will help him as he will be helping with the opening of a new restaurant. And this restaurant that he gets the experience of working in for a week is very high-end, again, well-known and celebrated as a great restaurant. And he experiences there, and first he's actually annoyed by the experience and later comes to love it, just the incredible high standard they have for excellence in this restaurant. Every detail matters, right? The smallest details matter. And so he sees that. He sees how well-run the restaurant is, but he also sees over the week how much they actually really do care about their customers. And there are these wonderful moments, right, where they do something special for a customer that they realize has some sort of need or some sort of experience that they want to address and honor. At the end of this week, he has a moment where he interacts with the founder of the restaurant. It's not a long conversation, but it's a really significant one. And he experiences, as he interacts with this founder, this woman who started the restaurant, is the head chef of the restaurant, he sees in her, not surprisingly, this high standard for excellence and this concern about the smallest details. But he also experiences in her a kindness, right? She actually really cares about him, even though he's only been there a week, even though she doesn't really know him, and she clearly has set the tone for a restaurant that's full of care and full of kindness, right? And so the founder, right, of this restaurant has affected, right, the environment, has affected what the restaurant is like. We're in the book of Colossians, right? Last week, we had the first section of Colossians. We're continuing on this week. And last week's section, which Pete preached on, speaks about how we have been transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, into the kingdom of the Son of God. And to come into the kingdom is to belong to the King, right? Just as that restaurant was affected by the founder of the restaurant, so the kingdom, of course, is affected by the founder of the kingdom. Right? To know the king is to know what it is to be in the kingdom, right? To experience the kingdom is to experience the king. And so it's no surprise that Paul would go from, you've belonged to this kingdom, you've been transferred into this kingdom, that then he begins to talk about the king. Let's talk about who founded the kingdom. Let's talk about who forms and shapes and defines what the kingdom is, the king. And so we have, right, in our section today, this beautiful celebration of who Jesus is, right? And it's being celebrated with the message, you belong to him. If you're a member of this kingdom, you're actually a member of his very body. So I just want to think today with you, reflect with you, who is this one we belong to? And what are some, just a few of the implications of belonging to him that we see in this passage? But again, who is this one? And we have, right, truth after truth, just a few verses of who he is. Many believe that Paul here is quoting an ancient hymn just because of the language, right? It seems like it may be something that was sung and celebrated. Whether it's an ancient hymn that Paul's quoting or whether he's the one who is writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, clearly, right, it's beautiful language, but really important theological language about who Jesus is. And I want to suggest that we see in the celebration of Jesus both his preeminence, both the reality that he's above all, his superiority over all things, but we also see he's relatable, that we can be in relationship, right? And so both he's high and lifted up, and yet he is present with us, and we can know him. And so it's actually pretty striking when you work through the various truths that are affirmed about Jesus, how there's connections actually with important theological truths about us. So even as Jesus is being celebrated, we can say, oh, well, that's sort of true for us, right? We see the connections. And so the first thing it says is, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And we hear that and we can say, well, we're made in the image of God, right? That's one of the first truths we learn. I mean, it pretty much is the first truth we learn about ourselves in the scriptures, right? In Genesis 1. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So male and female, all humanity, every person we meet, right, is created in the image of God. So we see a connection there. Right? It says all things are created for him. Right? All things are created through him and for him. And again, in the same way, in Genesis 1, creation, right? We have the account of creation. And then basically the Lord says, this is for you, to Adam and Eve. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth. You shall have them for food. So again, we see in the beginning of creation, the Lord saying, this is for you. Manage it, steward it, right? You have dominion over it, right? You're called to care for creation. There's an authority I've given you. And we see that all things are created for Jesus, right? And again, there's a connection there, right? He's the head of the body. We are the body. He's the firstborn from the dead, right? And we celebrate, again, especially in this season of Easter, that we have a coming resurrection, that we too will be born from the dead, right? That death does not end our life in Christ, but we continue on. And we look forward to the resurrection of our bodies. And it tells us in him dwells the fullness of God. And yet we also affirm, right, that we are indwelt by the presence of God. That the very presence of God indwells us, right? Where Pentecost is coming. We celebrate on that first Pentecost. As the people of God gathered together, the very presence of God was poured out upon them, and they experienced the filling of God. So we see these connections, right? But as we look at these connections, we think about them, right? When we think about them, we see, oh, it actually points out the preeminence of Christ. It points out just how much above us he is. So again, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. We're made in the image of God. He is the image of God. Now, some have read this, right, in history and said, well, he's the firstborn of all creation and have concluded from that, oh, he was the first to be created, right? Some have misunderstood that passage and said, therefore, Jesus was created first, and so he's above all things because he's the best of all the things that were created, right? There was a teacher named Arius in the early 4th century who propounded this, right? And he was a big proponent of it. He even wrote songs, and people would sing songs in bars. I mean, that's what they would argue about in those days, is theology, right, in bars, right? And they would sing a song, and one of the lines of the song said, there was a time when he was not, right? That's what Arius really wanted to affirm, right? There was a time when Jesus was not. But all we have to do is keep reading the passage to say, well, that's not right. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So that all things means all things. Everything was created by the Lord Jesus Christ, through him, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? Always have been. They are uncreated, right? He is uncreated. Three persons, one being, right? And all things are created through him. And again, notice that Paul especially is emphasizing here, visible and invisible. Thrones, dominions, rulers, and authorities. When we hear thrones and dominions, rulers, and authorities, we can think of political leaders, right? I mean, you know, people that were ruling at that time and people that rule today. But primarily, right, that language, when Paul uses that language, is talking about spiritual powers, right? We see that in the end of the book of Ephesians, for instance, when it talks about putting on the armor of God, right? It talks about powers and authorities that we wrestle with. And so this is speaking about angels, right, and fallen angels, demonic powers. And Paul is wanting to emphasize those beings, right, these incredibly powerful beings compared to us were created through Christ, right? His power is so much greater than them. He's the one who created them. We'll actually see later in the book of Colossians, right, where we'll see there's some sort of false teachings that have gotten root in Colossians. It's hard to know exactly what the false teachings were, but Paul specifically mentions the worship of angels. And so there were some, apparently, in this church who were worshiping angels. He wants to make it clear, why would you worship angels when they were actually created through Christ and by Christ? Right? He is the one who created all things, right? Even angels, even things of great power. And so again, he's the image, the creator of all things. And then as we continue, right, to read through this passage, again, all things were created for him. And so there's a way in which things were created for us and that we're called to be stewards of creation, right? But all things being created for Christ, right? He's clearly, you know, the one who manages, right? He's the owner, right? If we're the stewards of creation, he's the one who owns all things and oversees all things. And all things are ultimately for his glory. And so to say that all creation is for him means that all creation points to him and ultimately will glorify him. And there's an element of future in this, right? There's an element of looking forward. I mean, everything now, in a sense, glorifies Christ, but the fact is this world is corrupted, right? And there's many things in this world that are rebellion against God, right? Sin continues to be at work in this world. And so the forum is looking forward to the time, right, when all things will ultimately honor the Lord. And every tongue will confess and every knee will bow that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's looking towards, right, that for and that fullness. And again, when it speaks of the fullness of God being pleased to dwell in him, right, there's strong language actually in the scriptures that speaks about receiving the you know, God's presence within us. Right? And just the next chapter in Colossians, or the next section, it'll speak of the fact that Christ is in us and we have the hope of glory in receiving Christ. And yet, right, Christ is the hope, right? And so we receive the hope, but Christ is the source of the hope. In the book of 2 Peter, one of the strongest, right, images used to speak of us being filled with the presence of God. In 2 Peter, he talks about us being partakers in the divine nature, right? Which is amazing, right? We partake in the very divine nature of God, but Jesus is the divine nature. He is the divine. Okay, so why is this so important, right? Why, again, is Paul so excited, and I'm excited about this, right? All the ways we can say, this is who Jesus is. This is why, how much greater he is than we are. This is so important, right? Because we need to know our Savior, right? He doesn't need a Savior, right? The one who created us, right? He's not lacking in any way. Right, this is why, right, you may say, well, I mean, that seems like kind of a fine theological point. Does it really matter if Jesus was, you know, the first and greatest of all creation or that he was uncreated? It does matter, right? You can see it in the Nicene Creed when we say it each week, right? Begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, right? Eternally begotten of the Father, right? It's so clear this matters because we want to be clear there is nothing lacking in Jesus. There's no way where he is not sufficient, right? And that's so important because we need to know our Savior, again, doesn't need a Savior. Right, the one who helps us doesn't need help. There was an episode of the podcast, This American Life, which also sometimes is strong language, but you can listen to a beep version of that one. But it has an episode called Parents Are People. And the focus of the episode is basically children realizing that their parents are fallible and that their parents make mistakes. And when sort of children realize, whether it's their parents or adults, like, oh, you know, like they actually are kind of messed up as well. And at the beginning of the episode, the host for that episode interviews her children and asks them, when is the moment when you realize, like, I was fallible, like I, you know, have weaknesses? Her 10-year-old son shares about this moment where he woke up in the middle of the night. He had had a nightmare, and he was afraid. He said, I went into, you know, you're in Dad's room, and I went to Dad to wake him up. You know, I was like, Dad, Dad. And he, you know, he didn't wake up. He says, so then I shook him, and then he, like, woke up frightened. And he was like, ah! You know, and the son said, he realized, wait a second, I'm scared. I'm coming to my dad to lessen my fear, and I just made him afraid. Like, he's afraid of me right now. Like, and then he said, you know, I realize I'm in trouble, right? The guy who's supposed to make me be less afraid is actually afraid of this moment. That's fascinating. He said, you know, before that moment, I actually thought, I don't remember how old he was at the time, but he said, I actually thought, like, anytime I was afraid, like, you just knew it. Like, if I was at school and I was afraid, you knew it. If I was sleeping in the middle of the night, and I realized you don't know everything, but Jesus does. It's such a good news to think, right, when we're afraid, he's not afraid. Like, he's with us in our fear, right? But he's not afraid, right? When we're feeling weak, right? I mean, Jesus knows weakness, right? And, you know, he took the various sins upon himself. He died on the cross, right? But he's strong in our weakness. And so this theology matters, right? It matters that we say, yes, he is the image of the invisible God, right? He is, all the fullness of God dwells in him, right? He has always been, he always will be. He holds everything together. I can trust him. And yet, again, we can relate to him. He's not so far above us that we can't know him. And again, that's where we see the connections, right? He's the head of the body, but we're actually members of the body. He's the firstborn from the dead, but we're also born from the dead. We have this connection with him, and it ends, again, this sort of him part ends, verse 20, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, right? He will ultimately reconcile all things, making peace by the blood of his cross. And so we're reminded, even again, at this hymn celebrating the preeminence of Jesus, that we're actually brought into relationship through his shed blood. That the one who holds all creation together shed his blood and died a real death on our behalf. And it's striking, actually, to read this and think, right, there are people, right, that read this first letter, or this letter that Paul wrote, and who read it, and who had walked around with Jesus, right? I mean, we know some of the disciples read it, right? Peter talks about Paul's letters. And so they read this and said, yes, right? The one who holds all creation together, right? I had a meal with him, right? I saw him when he was sleeping in a boat, right? And they knew the humanity of Jesus. And so we can read this too and say, this one actually is also fully human, right? Again, he is strong, but he knows what it is to experience weakness. He knows what it is to experience pain. He knows what it is to experience betrayal and loss and sorrow. He even knows what it is to experience temptation. He did not give in to temptation, yet he experienced real temptation. And therefore, right, we can again know his preeminence and know him and know and have a relationship with him. And so, right, when we get to verse 21, and you, it may feel like, and you, right, like, we can't talk about us. I mean, you know, this is Jesus is being celebrated, and you may feel kind of jarring. Like, how do I come into this? Right? But there's a way in which it is about us, right? It's ultimately about Jesus, but it is about us because he came for us. We are brought into the kingdom. We are members of this kingdom. And you, he reminds them, were once alienated. You were hostile in mind. You did evil deeds, right? You were part of the domain of darkness. But he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Does that, when you hear that, do you say, yes, that's who I am, holy and blameless and above reproach? Or do you say, that's right, that's my identity, right? Or do you say, no, that can't be right? I think probably many of us, we hear that and we think, that's not me, right? That's not who I am. And it's right to say I should be humble, right? I should remember I sin, right? I give in to sin. We will have a prayer of confession. We do it every Sunday as a way to acknowledge our need for the Lord's forgiveness, right? Our need for his continued help, right? We just came out of the season of Lent where we emphasize, right, the importance of repentance and living with contrite hearts, right? But we don't live in the identity of sinners. Even in Lent, we're not saying, oh, man, during Lent, we're going to, you know, that's our identity, sinner. Right? If you live in the identity of sinner, then why not sin, right? If that's your identity, right, I'm a sinner, then I might as well keep sinning. But our identity, actually, in Christ is holy and blameless and above reproach. Right? Because, again, of who he is, of what he's done, because we can trust, because he's superior over all, we actually know a full forgiveness, a full cleansing in him. I just want to encourage you on this morning, right, if you hear that and say, no, that's not right, I can't believe that, just ask the Lord, help me to believe that. Help me to believe that I'm actually presented to you as holy and blameless and above reproach. Right, that's the implication of who Christ is and belonging to his kingdom. But it's followed by an if. Right, you see that there in the next verse, if, and maybe you're like, bummer, you know, I knew there had to be an if, right? I knew, you know, holy, blameless, above reproach, oh, that sounds good. If, you know, there's a catch, right? But notice what the catch is, right? It's not really a catch. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel. So this is sort of like you can have this incredible meal, right, that's been prepared for you if you sit down and eat it. Right? I mean, that's what it is, right? Here, this is for you. Jesus has done this for you. This is who he is. He has called you into his kingdom if you come into his kingdom. If you continue to trust in him and receive what he's given you, then you can receive all this. And so in one sense, we say, well, there shouldn't even need to be an if there, right? Of course we're going to receive this, but we need the if, right? The Colossians needed the if. Again, they were being pulled away to some sort of false teachings. They were actually, you know, turning away from the truth of the gospel and following something where they were worshiping angels or, again, were giving into some sort of weird rituals. We'll talk about that more in a couple of weeks. Right? But they were being pulled away, and Paul has to tell them, you know, you have to remain faithful and steadfast. But again, in doing so, all you're doing is just receiving what Christ has given you. All you're doing is living in what he's offered to you. All you're doing is remaining in the kingdom. But strangely, right? I mean, it's hard to even understand why we feel that draw away from the kingdom. Whether, again, it's false teachings or whether we look back at the domain of darkness and it actually looks good. Right? We're sort of like the Israelites at times. Right? Well, maybe slavery is better, right? Maybe going back to Egypt would be better. And so we need that if. Right? We need that reminder. Right? Continue in the faith. Continue to trust in him. Be aware that there will be things that will try to draw you away from trust in him. But this is who you trust in. This is the one you know. Right? This is all that you have in Christ. And so receive that. I'm just struck, right, by that if, right? We need the scriptures, right? The Colossians needed Paul to teach them. And we need, right, the scriptures to continue to teach us. And we need one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to gather together. You've gathered together today, so you don't need me to tell you that, right? But we need this, right, to continue to remind one another. This is who Jesus is. This is what the scriptures teach. This is the reality that we've received. So yesterday, so this is a fresh story, you can tell, because it just happened to me yesterday, but had an opportunity to, at the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis, they had a marathon day where three Shakespeare plays were performed throughout the day. And so Molly, my wife Molly and I had a chance to go to that. And to be in this room with people that are like super excited for 9 hours of Shakespeare was just such a unique experience. I mean, it's like people were talking to each other, like, hey, how far did you drive? And like, you know, connecting. And then before the first play, when the artistic director of the Guthrie, when he came out, I've never been to a Taylor Swift concert, but I imagine this was what it was like. I mean, people went crazy. They were like, wow! You know, it's like, he's the artistic director of the Guthrie. And throughout the day, they actually gave a standing ovation before the third play. As it began, everyone stood up and clapped. They were so excited that they had, you know, three more hours of Shakespeare to look forward to. I was just struck, like, it's like, wow, like, this is a group, you know, which, again, I was happy to belong to, that's really excited about theater, really excited about Shakespeare, really excited about art, excited to be in Minneapolis and to be part of this experience. Right? It's good to celebrate the gifts of God. Pete talked about that last week, right? The excitement of people that are really into maple syrup together and how they bond together. Right? It is good, right? It bonds us together when we have gifts of God that we especially celebrate and love. Right? But if that's true, how much more to know the giver, right? The celebration and the bond we have that we know the giver of every good and perfect gift, that it comes from him. We know the one who founded the kingdom. Right, who oversees the kingdom. So again, we need to remind one another through the power of the Spirit, right? This is good to celebrate. Let's pray for that. Lord, we do thank you for the beautiful reality, the reality that's beyond perhaps our full mental comprehension, but yet which we can celebrate and live into, that you are the one who holds all things together, that you are preeminent over all things, and yet we can know you. I pray, Lord, that through your Spirit, we would hold on to the hope we have in you, and that you would give each one of us opportunities to encourage and to help one another to hold on to the hope. Lord, again, you have called us to be your body. We're thankful that you are head of the body. Lead and guide each one of us, we ask. And we pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to stand. We'll affirm our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is visible and invisible. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as we continue with the prayers of the people.
Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. We ask for the wisdom and grace to carefully speak what is true and beneficial, that we might represent you faithfully. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for our Archbishop Foley, our Bishop Stewart, and for our own clergy and staff here at Church of the Cross. We pray for the Diocese of the Upper Midwest, and especially for Bread of Life in Madison, Wisconsin, and Father Matt Arndt. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the Ministry of Compassion International and the sponsored children through our children's ministry, Irene in Rwanda, Givens in Haiti, and Andre in Brazil, as well as the Verrett's Child Survival Program in Haiti. Lord, we especially ask for your protection for those in Haiti as they endure this lawless time in their country. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. With hearts filled with gratitude, we give you praise and thanks for your protection over the people of Israel during the last 24 hours, as they face thousands of missiles from Iran, and that early reports are that there was little damage and no loss of life. We long for the day when the nations will come to Jerusalem to learn of your ways so that they may walk in your paths. In our own time of rising conflicts across the globe, it gives us hope to know that the day will come when humans will follow your ways and not learn war anymore.
We pray that your strong arm will come to the aid of those who work for conditions that promote peace, and that those who love violence will fail. May righteousness and justice prevail. Lord, in your mercy. The Psalms tell us that you send forth your spirit and renew the face of the earth, and we are in a moment when we see this with our own eyes. Small green leaflets are bursting out on bushes and trees, and crocuses and other early flowers are emerging from the ground. Thank you for the beauty that you put into creation and the way it tunes our hearts to love the good, the beautiful, and the true. May we steward your creation well and use its resources in a way that honors you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless all those whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. We pray especially for our youth at the retreat this weekend and ask for their safe return home today. May your work in them these last days take root and bear fruit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them the courage and hope in their troubles and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for Thor, Glenna, Carol, Catherine, Vlad, and Michelle. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.